become habits, and then habits become character, and character becomes your destiny. That's what your destiny is. And if we were to reverse that, we would say, your destiny depends on your character, and if you don't have any, then chances are, you know, you won't be in the kingdom of God. And then your character depends on what kind of habits you develop. And your habits depend on your actions, and your actions have a lot to deal with, to do with what you think about your thoughts. Now, is this substantiated in the Bible? Does the Bible talk about this same thing here? Well, I think it does. Let's turn back to Proverbs 23, verse 6. Proverbs 23, verse 6. It says, eat thou not bread of him that has an evil eye. And Christ spoke about the evil eye, the eye that is dark. And he's talking about what goes on in your mind, what you think about, what you choose to think about. Notice verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you would have to agree that the development, you know, of character here, what a person thinks about ultimately leads to this destiny. That this chart is a very true statement, a true concept. That your thoughts become action, actions become habit, habits become character, and character becomes your destiny. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are where your thoughts have taken you. That's where you are right now. James Allen said this, and I quote, he said, you are today where your thoughts faith. Now, I think this is interesting, the way this is put, because it says faith, chapter 2, verse 26, faith, your belief without works, is dead. Totally dead. I've been studying a little bit about, I have a series of tapes entitled Reformed Theology, or What is Reformed Theology, and it's interesting. The more you get into it, the more interesting it becomes. These 16th century reformers, because I've always wanted to understand the way people think, how do Christians think about God, about the Bible, why do they do certain things, and what is Reformed theology. But in this area, there is a doctrine they have called justification by faith alone. It was Martin Luther who said that this is the article that is justification by faith alone. This is the article by which the church stands or falls. It was a heated debate, justification by faith alone. And it was looked at as a declaration or a proclamation, or I announce that from here on you are justified. And from the time you believe this, from the time that you believe, the moment you say, yes, I believe in Christ, at that moment you are justified by faith alone. That's the doctrine, justification by faith alone. Now, I believe that we are justified by, it's a kind of faith. It's not a, you know, there is such a thing as dead faith, where people don't believe anything. That we are justified by the kind of faith that produces good works. So you have to make a distinction about what kind of faith you're talking about. When you say justification by faith alone, it is a kind of faith. It's the kind that produces good works. Because, you know, people who say, well, the law's been done away with, it's been nailed to the cross, there's nothing you can do, they don't have anything to believe in. I think one minister said, you know, if there is no law, you don't need to have faith. You've done nothing wrong. You don't need a savior if there is no law. And that was a good point, a very good point he brought out. We are justified by Christ alone if there is great need for repentance. Not the doers of the law are just, but the doers shall be justified. It is the doers of the law that come into a position to be justified by grace. Not by their works, but by the grace of Jesus Christ. So in James 2, verse 23, notice what he says. And Scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. This is why James, according to Luther, Martin Luther, was called the Epistle of Straw. He discredited, to a large degree, James, because he contradicted what Luther taught. But you kind of ask me, which one do you believe? Do you believe Luther, or do you believe the Bible with faith? Well, I think you would rightly choose to believe James. And also another point, I think that Ron Dark mentioned one time, is that the book of James is somewhat one-sided in that it deals with your works. It comes heavily down on works. The book of Galatians, on the other hand, is somewhat one-sided because it deals very heavily with faith. And the focus is on just your faith. And a good equal balance of faith and works is found in the book of Romans. Equal balance of the two working together. Someone said this, on our knees, we pray as if everything depends on God. When we get up, we work as if everything depends on us. I like that point. The kind of faith that is evident in the way we live our lives, the kind of faith that will build good habits and break bad ones, and that's what we're talking about here. As this chart brings out here, and that is your actions become, your thoughts become actions, your actions become habits, habits become your character, and your character becomes your destiny. So let's go through here. You'll notice on the first paper, or one of them, building character, it says an outline of steps we're going to go through. Number one is changed thinking leads to changed beliefs. Now, you may think just because you're baptized and you have the Spirit of God that you've changed the way you think. Well, maybe so, maybe not. And chances are, all the time, we don't change the way we think just because we've gone down in the waters of baptism. We're trying to change everything else, but we don't change. shine yourself daily. All of our cancer and service that went through all of that. You know, people call you up and you don't want to. Bugging you all the time, just have a, just list all of that all at once. Maybe they wouldn't bother you no more. I don't know. Anyway, in order to change your belief, you've got to change the way you think. And then it's thinking positive thoughts. I am now more. Thank you, Lord, for giving me intelligence. I am unattractive. Or thank you, Lord, for making me attractive. You don't like me. Or thank you, Lord, for making me likable. I notice the choice to think in the way is yours when you wake up in the morning. I have no talents. I thank you, Lord, for the talents that you've given me. There's been many times that when I am given a sermon or a sermon to that, I'll have these thoughts just overwhelm me. You know, this is no good. You know, you're making a fool of yourself. This is what you're saying is no good. Everything you're doing is no good. Why don't you just sit down and shut up? And it's a fight. It's a battle there to fight that and to think positive thoughts about yourself. I'm miserable or I'm content. I'm lonely or thank you, Lord, for my friends. I'm poor or thank you, Lord, for prospering me. I'm nervous or thank you, Lord, for peace. I'm uninteresting, or thank you, Lord, for making me unique. I'm no good, or thank you, Lord, for your own righteousness in me. I'm sick, or thank you, Lord, for the perfect health and healing that you've given me. So you might want to check that out in your quiet time and see how many checks you have on the left side or on the right side. Now, this really gets complicated the way we think about ourselves when it comes to the area of sin. You know, knowing that you have sinned and need to be forgiven is one thing. We all come up against that. You know, with sin, you need to be forgiven. You knowing that is all right. But thinking that you will always be a sinner is something else. Having the idea in me that I will always be a sinner and never be able to overcome this. Well, what do you think? First step in building your character. I think, you know, this other area that I was mentioning to you about Reformed theology, they have one of the points of Calvinism. The first point is what they call total depravity. And it describes the state of man. And they have what they call original, the doctrine of original sin. I think that's interesting. Original sin was not, and it's not our concept, it's their concept, Reformed theology. Original sin was not just something that happened to Adam and Eve. It was an act, according to their belief, that changed the nature of man forever. This is what is meant by when you hear the title original sin. In other words, their belief is we are not sinners because we sin. Notice this. We are not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners. Because we are sinners. We are born is this: change thinking leads to changed expectations. Changed thinking leads to changed expectations about yourself and about God. Building character involves changing beliefs to affect a change in your expectations. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. There it is, okay. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision. The vision that you have, the vision that you have of God, the vision that you have of yourself, your expectations, and your calling. Some people never break out of sin because their belief does not create new expectations about God. Your belief does not create any new expectations about God. None whatsoever. There was a study, I think I mentioned this before, but it's an interesting study here, that was done at Harvard University by Dr. Rosenthal. He deals with the area of expectations. What he did is he took three groups of rats. That's rats. Three groups of rats and three groups of students. And the first group of students were told, you've got the white rats. I mean, you've got the intelligent ones. They'll fly to that maze and they'll get that cheese in no time at all. That's what they were told. The second group of students were told, well, you've got the average rats. And they're just average rats. You know, you can't expect a lot out of them. About half of them, they make it to the maze and get the cheese. That's the average rats. You can't expect so much out of average rats. And the third group, students were told, you've got the dummy rats. I mean, they are dumb. They don't have a bit of sense. One may stumble and fall through the maze and get to the cheese, land on the cheese, but you can't expect much out of these dummy rats. And for the next 6 weeks, under the most carefully controlled scientific conditions, just like they had said, the first group of students who had the bite rats, they made it through there in no time at all and got the cheese. The second group of students had the average rats, not half of them, just like they said. Made it and got the cheese. And the third group, just like Ann had said, one or two stumbled across and came up on the cheese. Now, what is interesting about this study is that all the rats were identical. There were no dummy rats, and there were no average rats, and there were no intelligent rats. I mean, perhaps there were rats. And, the rats were identical, the results were different. What's the moral of the story? Well, I think it's the hidden power of expectation. What you are expecting, what you're told, what you believe, what you think about yourself, about God. And the hidden power of expectation, you might call it faith in action. Faith in action. Look at what 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 tells us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. This is what the Bible tells us of ourselves, whether or not we believe it. Depends on your expectations. It says, therefore, any man in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's your expectation set. So, moving right along to the third point. It says, changed expectations lead to changed attitude. How important is your attitude? I think your attitude is something that God, I think, looks at every single day of your life. There have been times that I've gotten up in the morning and had a rotten attitude. Don't know why, really. But I think God looks at this. And, it's been said, a good attitude is not enough to break a bad habit, but you cannot break a bad habit with a bad attitude. You're just not going to be able to do it. You have that bad attitude, you're not going to be able to do anything much at all. The scripture talks about in the book of Hebrews, hardening your heart. I think it could just as easily call it the hardening of one's attitude. The hardening of one's attitude, hardening your heart. Attitude is everything. And you will carry with you today an attitude about life, about yourself, about God. And you'll carry it tomorrow. Maybe you have to put in a different attitude. And attitude is everything. Change expectations. How excited you are, how thrilled you are about your calling. which I